Track 10. NWT Wildlife Ambassador Nick Aitchison on 30 by 30, an ambitious drive to help rescue our threatened species.
A miracle occurs throughout Broadland every year in June. From fresh green reed beds, young birds spring and billow petal-like on summer's gentle breeze across the marsh. Their upswept wings and bodies are a flawless Bourneville brown, their throats and crowns rose gold, their long bare legs are yellow. These are the chicks of marsh harriers. Those of us who live in Norfolk can easily become blasé about these wonderful birds. After all, we see them all the time. Along the Norfolk coast and through the fens and broads, they are a common sight year-round these days. A visit to the broads without marsh harriers would be exceptional and empty, for they are the spirit of the Broadland sky. It wasn't always so. Through much of the 20th century, no marsh harriers nested in the county, or indeed the country. They had, ironically, been harried from existence here by landowners and keepers jealous of the pheasants. It was only from the 1960s that their recovery gathered pace. In the 1980s, when I was learning birds at Clye, marsh harriers were still terribly rare in Norfolk. Each one you saw was a hallowed thing, an exclamation mark to punctuate your day. Today's marsh harriers are an essential reminder of two truths. The first is just how readily creatures we take for granted can vanish from our landscapes and our lives. A disgraceful litany of plants, fungi, birds, reptiles, amphibians, fish, mammals and invertebrates, most of them far less obvious or swashbuckling than a harrier, is listed as threatened. We use that word so often that it's almost lost its meaning, but threatened means, quite literally, threatened with local extinction, with disappearing, winking out. A marsh harrier, every time we see one, should remind us of all that is at stake, how easily beloved species disappear, and just how devastating each loss is. Since I learned my birds in coastal North Norfolk, all the nightingales, tree pipits, and wood warblers that were here have gone. Along the river of my birth, the willow tits have gone. The turtle dove will almost certainly be next. Surely our development as a species and society, for we unquestionably are the cause, cannot merit such a dreadful price. The second lesson from the marsh harriers fledging across the broads this month is that with the right will and a willingness to change our own behaviour, we can help some species to return. The marsh harrier, the buzzard, the raven, the avocet and the goshawk came back to Norfolk once we stopped persecuting them. The otter, sparrowhawk and peregrine returned when we stopped poisoning them. Many other species, corn buntings, lapwings, adders, tree sparrows, arable weeds and innumerable insects, which we have all but driven from the land, will return only if we reverse the awful damage we've done to their habitats. To do so will require tremendous will and a willingness to change our own behaviour. If ever there was a time to change direction as a species, it's now. Elsewhere in the world, the pandemic is still raging. Many countries have not enjoyed the same good fortune with regard to vaccines as we have here. And in the southern hemisphere, people are suffering the dark and cloistered months of winter. Nonetheless, in the UK, we are, for now, emerging into summer sunshine. At the same time, our vaccination programme has been swift and effective, and for now, we're enjoying greater liberties. Never before have I so felt like a small tortoiseshell, worn and dusty, emerging from cobwebbed hibernation into light. So much of the way we've lived as a species for the past 100 years has been exposed by COVID-19, so many of our vain priorities questioned. Nature, whipped and punished by our relentless desire for land, for water, for excessive protein, and for dominance, responded in a way which scientists had long predicted was inevitable. Science, let us not forget, predicts the climate and biodiversity crises we have unleashed will be incomparably worse. As we surface like tattered tortoiseshells from hibernation, the air is clear. The slate is clean. We have the chance, the duty, as a society, to do things differently, to uphold nature as our friend, our ally, and our home, for nature's sake, and because the message of the pandemic couldn't be clearer, our health, food, soils, water, and well-being utterly depend on her. Mindful of this, the Wildlife Trusts have launched a strategy known as 30 by 30. Our unashamedly ambitious plan is to see nature recovering across at least 30% of land and sea by 2030. This is an enormous task. But now is not a time to quail, to forget the agonies we've all endured, or that their cause lay in the abuse of nature. Now is a time to reinvent, to dream, to mend our ways. What a miracle it will be, and no other word will do, if in a decade's time, birds, butterflies, frogs, snakes, dragonflies, fungi, bacteria, and flowers are everywhere across the landscape, each species in its way enhancing soil, recycling nutrients, capturing carbon, preventing floods, providing genes and compounds for research and therapies, and, let us not forget, making our own lives beautiful. Launching strategies with catchy slogans is easy. Delivering this daring vision will require participation from everyone in society. If, during the long and lockdown winter past, you dreamed of summer sun with swallows overhead, with bees humming around sea lavender and terns shrieking above our peerless beaches, then become a passionate advocate for a wilder world. Help us heal the land and with it secure our own society's future. This summer, as you visit Broadland and watch marsh harriers fledging clumsily over reed beds, remember what we've lost. Dream of what we could have again, and join us as together we deliver 30 by 30.